It's kind of a strange title, but I didn't come up with it. but it does fit what we're going to be talking about. Actually, for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about stewardship. And this is going to be a little bit different approach to stewardship. I've come into this understanding through the last, and I've thought about this a lot through the last few years, about stewardship. I want to read today out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. We're going to be reading from the Amplified Bible. And it says this, "For we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God." Now look at this next phrase now. "You are God's garden and vineyard and field under cultivation. You are God's building." Now notice what it says there, that you are God's garden, you're God's vineyard, and you are His cultivation under construction. Man, how many of you know God's not through with us yet? Well, I'm so glad that He doesn't give up on us, that He looks at us and He sees us complete in Christ Jesus, even though we're not in the natural. We look at us and we see ourselves many times. We see ourselves in many different ways. We see ourselves as falling way short, and we do, don't we? And we're not perfect. But like the old song said, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." And it says He took a long time to make the moon and the stars, but He's still working on me. And I'm so glad that He is. And we're going to look at some scripture today, and I'm going to share some things with you. This says that we are God's garden. And that's why we call this Inner Eden, because on the inside of you, there's a garden. And let's read Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life in the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there He placed the man He had made." Two things parallel each other right here. Both of these verses, that God took dirt and He formed man's body. And then it says that He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being, a living soul, a living person. And then it says that He planted a garden and He placed man in the garden that He planted. There's a statement I want to make here. When God created man, He placed him in a garden. And when God created man, according to the New Testament, He placed a garden in him. And that's why we're calling this Inner Eden. Because what we see in the Garden of Eden is a reflection of what was happening in man's heart. God put him in a place called Eden, a garden. And He put him there because that's where He wanted him to begin. And there's several things that we're going to look at here. But there is a very precious thing that He did for us, that He did for Adam when He breathed in him the breath of life. He became a living being in connection with God. Now, we do know that mankind sinned and was separated from God. But listen, when we become new creatures in Christ Jesus and we're born again, God restores to us our garden on the inside of us. And we are to live in and out of that garden on the inside. I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness." That's about Genesis. "Who has shone in your hearts." In your what? In your hearts. "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." But look at this. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence and the power may be of God and not of us." It says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is that treasure? It is the new creation that we become in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so when God created man, he put him in a garden. But at the same time, when he breathed into the breath, him the breath of life, he planted a garden in him. Now, there's seven things that we're going to look at today about this garden that is reflective of the heart. See, we're comparing our hearts to a garden, to the Garden of Eden. That's why we're calling this Inner Eden. First of all, and here's the first thing we want to talk about, that it was a garden. And the Hebrew word there for garden means a garden as fenced. It was a place specifically prepared for a task. He didn't place him in the whole world. He placed him in a fenced place called a garden. This was a special place for Adam to learn to thrive. Out of this garden. This garden was designed to meet every kind of need that Adam would ever have in his life. And we'll get into that in a minute. So what does a fence do? It keeps in what needs to be kept in, and it keeps out what needs to be kept out. And that's the way it is with our hearts, see? There are things that needs to be in our hearts, and then there are things that need to be kept out of our hearts. So our hearts is much like a garden, and much like the Garden of Eden. It's a special place. It's a place of God's provision. See, one thing you need to realize about yourself, you're not a physical body. You have a physical body, but you are not a physical body. When God created Adam and put him in the garden, he didn't give it to him as a possession. He gave the responsibility to Adam to take care of that garden. See, he didn't own the garden. He was a steward of that garden. What is a steward? A steward is someone who manages someone else's property. So one thing that we need to realize about ourselves is, especially when we come to Christ, we don't own ourselves. You don't own your body. I've heard people say, this is my body and I'll do with it what I want to. You're acting like an owner. You're not an owner, you're a steward. And not only that, our hearts, our garden, our insides do not belong to us. They belong to God. You belong to God, spirit, soul, and body. So you're not just a body. You have a body. You are spirit. You have a mind and a will, and you have emotions, and you live in a body. And that inner man called the heart is your garden. And God gave you that garden. He gave you the stewardship of that garden. Number two, that garden is called Eden. Eden. Now, Eden is a very fruitful place. It's a well-nourished place. And it's also, the word Eden means paradise or pleasure. Now, understand that this word pleasure is before the fall. A lot of times when we think of pleasure, we think of carnal pleasure or sensual pleasure or the indulgence of the flesh in some way. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about the pleasure that God has for man through his relationship with him. See, I believe this, that we ought to enjoy our relationship with God. We should enjoy our relationship with God. It should not be a drudgery. You know, if it's a drudgery, you got a problem. See, there's two things that we need to see here. Okay, religion tries to control things from the outside in. Real relationship with God is a thing from the inside to the outside. See, one is characterized from the external. That's a works mentality. If I'm going to please God, I need to do this, I need to do this, I don't need to do this. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. Isn't that true? And they try to change man from the outside in. You cannot change man by getting him to conform to rules. That's called works. What this is a picture of is something that's from the inside to the outside. And when we see from transformation comes from the inside to the outside, it may have the same result, but listen, it's not works, it becomes fruit. And Eden means a place of fruitfulness. See, Jesus said in the New Testament, he says, if you're going to follow me and my word abides in you, and you know, it says you're going to bear much fruit. It didn't say you were going to do many works. It says you're going to bear much fruit. There's the difference. It's a difference of perspective. And you go to a lot of churches all over the world. I was in Africa 2 weeks ago, and I saw this. I mean, it's all about conformity. And you know, they're beating people over the head and say, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this. You know, you can do all of those things and not be right in your heart. See, Christianity, listen to this if you don't hear anything else, hear this today, that Christianity is about the heart. It's about the heart. Look at your neighbor and say, it's about the heart. It's about the heart. That's what it's all about. It is a stewardship of the heart. A place of fruitfulness, Eden. A place of plenty of supply. And a place, and just a place of pleasure. Having pleasure in your relationship with God. The third thing was that there were trees in the garden. You know, as I thought about this and meditated on this, I noticed that it didn't say anything about plants. Now, there may have been plants, but that's not what God was emphasizing. He was emphasizing trees that bear fruit. Trees that bear fruit. So when we think about trees, we think about a couple things. Number one, we think about something that's strong. Trees are strong. You know, when we talk about oak tree, we're talking about a mighty tree. We're talking about strength. We're talking about roots. We're talking about all of those kind of things. And then the second thing, that these were fruit-bearing trees. So these trees bring forth fruit. And the ideal of a tree is that it's not temporary, it's permanent. And this reflects on our heart. See, our heart is to be about those things too. You know, we're supposed to be permanent, not temporary. We're supposed to be eternal. We're supposed to exude strength and bring forth fruit. I love Psalms 1. Psalms 1 says this, and let's read it real quick. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. See, that's what the believer's life is supposed to look like. We're supposed to be like trees of righteousness. Just as there were trees in the garden that were permanent, that were strong, that were bearing fruit, we're supposed to be the same way. We're supposed to be as strong as trees. And that comes by learning to live out of your inner garden, your Garden of Eden. The next thing that's there is river. There's a river. In fact, it's kind of interesting because in the garden, there's one river. And when it gets outside of the garden, it divides into four other rivers. And it just nourishes everything around and throughout from that place. And I thought that was interesting, that inside the garden, there is one river. One river. And that river speaks of our spirit man. See, that's where our strength is from, is our spirit man. That's where the life of God is. That's where living water comes from. See, Jesus said something in John chapter 7, verse 38. He says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And in the midst of this garden, there was a river that flowed out of it. It was living water that flowed out of it. When it got outside of the garden, it branched into four different areas. And, you know, I got to thinking, there are four areas besides our spirit that we have to deal with, that our heart is designed to nourish. Number one is our physical needs, our physical man. And there is a provision. See, your heart Your spiritual man is designed in relationship with God to produce everything in your life that you need. It really is. Your physical needs. The Bible says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That was talking about our physical needs. How many of you know that God wants us to prosper? He wants us to flourish in the areas of our life that he has put us in. The physical areas, your relationships and your work and your home and what you do for a living and where you are and what your callings and talents and abilities are. God wants you to flourish that way. See, you're supposed to be life-giving. Your life is to be life-giving. But you know what that's going to take? Managing our garden. Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? See, you determine how your garden grows by what you allow in your garden. We'll get to that in a minute. So out of this river. So the second one, the second area is your intellect. I believe Christian people should be smart. I think Christians should be intelligent. And I think that out of your heart, if you'll listen to your heart will teach you things. I just want to say something that seems strange. See, your spirit knows things your head don't know. We use the word intuition. See, there are things that you are aware of that didn't come through your thinking facility. It came from the interaction of your soul and spirit. So your spirit can nourish your intellect. It can nourish your as you meditate on the Word of God, as it says in Psalms 1, it says, as you delight yourself and you meditate that day and night, you'll be like a tree. Why? Because that river that flows through you will help instruct and illuminate your mind in spiritual understanding and in wisdom that you need for your day. See, we don't have to get all of our wisdom from out here. If you're paying attention, if you're putting the Word on the inside of you, that Word will teach you. It will, through your spirit, it will illuminate your mind and you will come into understanding and wisdom that you don't know how you got there. Then the next area, that we're emotional beings. And I think that Christians should be the most emotionally stable of anybody else. Why? Because we have a garden flowing out of us. And it flows out into these areas of our life. And then the last one is your will. See, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your will, that means that the river that flows out of you ought to influence your decision-making capabilities. That we ought to be able to make correct decisions based on correct and exact information that we get out of our relationship with God. As we manage our inner garden, that the things that come out of us could be the wisdom of God. And we know how to make, to choose the right things and to reject things that we need to reject. Amen. That's good if you think about it. The next thing that God said, he says, I want you to tend this garden. Now, what does it mean to tend the garden? One of the things it means is to plow. What happens to unplowed ground? It gets hard. Did you know the Bible talks about a hardened heart? What happens in a hardened garden? You can throw the seed out there, but if the garden is too hard to receive the seed, it won't reproduce the fruit that it needs to produce. So one of Adam's jobs was to keep the ground tended. He was supposed to tend the garden. He was to take its fruit. He was to prune. He was to plow. He was to keep the cycle of reproduction going. And one of the things, as the seeds fall off the trees, if they fall in good ground, you have another tree that's producing more and more and more fruit. That's the way with your heart too. See, as a manager of your heart, We need to learn to not allow our hearts to become hard. Now, how does your heart get hard? One way is through offense. I love the saying, if you can't be offended, you can't be defeated. When you're easily offended, your heart will harden. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's sin. It could be many different things, but we have to manage these things. We have to tend our garden. We have to keep the ground of our hearts plowed and pliable, and so that it can receive the seed of the Word of God, that we can grow the way that we're supposed to grow, so that we can be nourished and we can be healthy spiritually and every otherwise. Listen, if you're healthy spiritually, you're going to be healthy in many, many areas of your life. The next thing he said was to keep it. And the ideal here was that you are to guard it. See, there is an enemy of the soul. His name is Satan. And so in your garden, you can be tempted. Just like Eve was tempted in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent. You know, the serpent may not come to you, but a person may come to you and try to sow bad seed into your heart. See, it's your job to guard your heart. I love Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Say diligence. Diligence. You keep your heart with diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Just like a river. There's either life flowing out of you or there's death. See, you choose. You choose by what you allow to come into your heart. How do things get in your heart? They come through the eye gate, the ear gate, and the feeling gate. They come through your gates. So you have to guard what you see. You have to guard what you listen to. You have to have a discerning mind when you hear something. If that doesn't sound right, reject it. If it's a word of offense, if it's a thing sown by the enemy, recognize it, resist it, and replace it with something that's better. Replace it with better seed. I refuse to be offended. Amen. I have people say things about me. I can't imagine why anybody would say anything ugly about me. But they do. And I can either choose to be offended, or I can choose to forgive. Move on, plant the right seed in my heart, because it affects how my garden grows. I've seen people, Christians, I just don't understand. Well, I'm all defeated. Well, you're walking with your feelings out on your sleeve. You're easily offended. You get your feelings hurt, and you hold grudges, and you wonder why you're not producing the fruit that you need to in your life. You need to tend your garden. You need to guard your heart. The enemy is out there to trip you up if he can. Don't let him. You are the keeper of the door of your heart. I'll tell you a big one, and this happened in the Garden of Eden. Fear. Fear is one of the driving forces that will ruin the produce of a good heart. Why did they run from God in the Garden of Eden after they sinned? He said, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked. Ashamed. He was ashamed. And he was afraid. Those are two negative forces that will cause a good heart to shut down, become hard, to where it can't receive what it needs to do and go forward and be healthy. So it's up to us to guard our heart with all diligence. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about is relationships. See, relationships began in the Garden of Eden. God is all about relationships. We were not made to take this journey alone. We are not designed as human beings to walk the walk alone. Now, this is talking about marriage, but I'm talking about friendship. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about other kind of things. The worst thing that a person can do is isolate themselves. You are easily attacked by the enemy when you isolate yourself. When you mess up, run to God. Don't run from God. I see people all the time. They mess up. They get out of church. Because they're ashamed or afraid or offended. You are a prime suspect for a deceived heart. Satan will work a number on you. We were designed to do life, not by ourselves, but with relationships. God said something about Adam. He says, you know, he says, sees all these animals and there's mates for all of them. He says, but there's not one for Adam. So he puts him asleep, takes a rib, makes Eve, presents Eve to Adam. And notice what Adam says in Genesis 2:23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. See, marriage was established in the garden. Marriage is a good thing. Marriage is a God thing. It's God's ideal. That's the reason that he made male and female. For there's to be the foundation relationship that there is the relationship of marriage. It was established in the garden. And to have a healthy heart, you need a healthy marriage. Now, I know everybody's not going to get married, and I'm not even saying that. But healthy marriages come out of healthy hearts. And God established relationships in the garden, and we need relationships. We need brothers. We need friends. We need family. We need spouses. We need that. We thrive on that. We won't be healthy without it. He goes on to say, verse 25, and they were both naked. Or we say in Arkansas, naked. And the ideal here is there was intimacy. Now notice how it transpires. Don't start with naked. It starts with marriage. It gets quiet when you talk this way in the house of God. Sometimes we do it backwards. That's not healthy. I'm just telling you. Marriage, then naked. Not naked, then married. Come on. Punch your neighbor. Say, he's telling the truth. Hey. That's the book. That's the book. But notice the intimacy. Proper relationship brings intimacy. And that's not just in marriage. That's in friendship. Proper relationship. You can have intimate friendships. You can have intimate relations. And I'm not talking about sexual. I'm just talking about friends. Good friends. Heart-to-heart situation. And notice the last phrase, and they were not ashamed. They got married. Man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. They got naked. They were not ashamed. That's the way it works. When you do it right, there's no shame. If there's shame in it, then you didn't do it right. And it's a heart issue. And what we need to go back and do is examine the heart. Line up the heart. Things can be right. Amen. We're talking about guarding your heart. Do you know a lot of Christians stumble over this very thing of relationships? A lot of single Christians stumble over this thing of relationships because they don't do it right. And it's reflective of an unattended heart, one that's not being guarded the way that it should be guarded. Folk, young people, you teenagers, do it right. One thing that you'll never regret, I promise you, if you do it the right way, you'll never regret it. I have never heard someone once say, I wish I had been promiscuous when I was a kid. I wish I'd have slept with all the women that I could have slept with. No, there's shame in that. It robs you of your innocence. It robs you of your intimacy. I didn't say this in first service. I'm talking to somebody. Somebody listen. Do it the right way. You'll never regret it. Your heart will be healthier. Your garden will grow better fruit if you do it the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, say this out loud with me. I still love Pastor. Hey, it's just my job to tell the story. You're the one that has to deal with it. But can I tell you something? You're responsible for what you hear. You're responsible for what you hear. Well, I didn't know. Yes, you do. You know now. You're responsible. It's up to you to guard your heart. It's up to you to guard your relationships. It's up to you to keep strife out, fear out. It's up to you. God has given you control over your heart. All right, let's pray. Woo. Lord God, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for the power of your word to transform our hearts. Lord, as we go through this series and we talk about issues, I pray that our hearts would be open and receptive to all that you have to say to us. May we present this in a spirit of love and may it be received that way. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.